Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 5th, 2015. And with me today, I brought my high-tech political crew. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
Being very high-tech and politically incorrect, as usual.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. Also, Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
I'm just high.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Which is just so extra ironic for me to say.
I know. It's actually...
Any of you who know Brian will know how funny that is.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that's Casper Mattresses, and I'm pretty stoked about that. So we'll talk about them soon. But first, I wanted to dive into to what's going on with net neutrality and Tom Wheeler's proposal and FCC potentially being able to regulate net neutrality. And I wrote a piece that I ran this morning saying the fight isn't over yet, even though a lot of people think it is, because the proposal that Tom has is that that the government should have control over this. And so broadband internet service needs to be classified as a common carrier service. Therefore, the FCC would be able to control it. And there's some people that are saying, yes, this is a win. I'm saying it's not a win yet because we still have some voting and some legal fights that are sure to come. But then there's some people that are looking at this and they're saying, nope, this is bad all the way around. And I'm curious what you guys think about this.
My thoughts on things like this, my thoughts on anything tend not to, I'm not someone who tends to side with one political party or another by default. I typically keep my nose out of politics and then I just sort of look at issues that matter to me. On this one, I very much am falling on the side of net neutrality is a good thing and is a necessary thing. I mean, it's so necessary. But I have a family member who sent me an email. It was forwarded from some senator or congressperson that was against this and encouraging this family member to vote and, to tell everybody they knew that they should, encourage their reps and such to vote against this. And it was interesting because the email said something along the lines of how, really this shouldn't be up to the government to regulate. It should be up to companies like Google and Twitter and Uber to regulate, which I thought, or to figure out on their own, essentially let the market decide. But the fascinating thing is, if we head down the path that we're already on for, taking away net neutrality, then companies like Google and Twitter and Uber could not have started without an additional massive cash infusion that would have gone to the carriers saying, carry our stuff in a way that is going to be fast enough and latency free and all of that, such that the users that we want to use it can actually do so. So it's an interesting argument that's coming from the people that are opposing this.
It's a nonsensical argument.
Well, yeah,
it's one step up. It's one step removed from I want the government to keep my their hands off my Social Security or my Medicare. I mean, it just has no foundation in reality whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, the internet as a whole came about because of government support, government structure, government and government sponsored R&D at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that went into it too. There's a lot of university input. There was some private input. But the internet that we know came into being largely because of the U.S. government's involvement.
And that's true.
In addition to that, as Dave alluded, or you didn't even allude it, you just said it, but the open and free structure that allowed Uber and allowed Google and allowed, what was the third company?
So I will read you the quote from this email.
Please.
that was from Mike Lee,
awesome.
Republican Utah. It said, who do you want in charge of the direction of the internet? People at dot-com startups that brought us game-changing companies like Facebook, Google, Twitter, Amazon, and Uber, or nameless, faceless, unelected bureaucrats in our nation's capital?
Yeah,
it's a loaded. It's a loaded question.
That's I've still got. I got an easy answer for it, though. I want the faceless bureaucrats.
You know who I want in charge? I want the people that have yet to start dot-coms like the ones that they mentioned. And in order for those people to have the freedom to do what the people before them did, we need net neutrality.
Yeah, we do. And that's the other thing is that the industry only has itself to blame. And by the industry, in this case, I happen to mean the broadband providers. They mm-hmm. only have themselves to blame for this. Net neutrality has worked through what is essentially a corporate gentleman's agreement mm-hmm. for two and a half decades.
Right.
Is that right? Two to two and a half decades.
Yeah, and this is how it was meant to be. They just never wrote the law this way.
Yeah, because there was always a little bit of anxiety about such a law being created, but the reality is that this was the effective law of the land, and it has worked. And it was Verizon, and it was Comcast that wanted to change the rules. They were the ones who came in, and they decided to try to. You know, these very profitable companies decided that they needed to milk a little more profit out of this.
And so they started to change the net neutrality rules.
Yeah, and they started extorting other companies. Some of these same companies.
To be fair, broadband and data in general was, I don't want to use the term loss leader, but it was underpriced for a really long time. Right. It was a throw in thing. You're paying us for our cable service. You're paying us for whatever. And then data is going to be this little thing that we throw in extra. Right. The phone companies learned this really the hard way, but they should have seen it coming based on what happened with cable companies. So there has been this thing of, well, wait a minute, we're data companies now, you know, and I think it was that shift inside of companies like Verizon and Comcast that made them say, well, wait a minute. Whoa. You know, we used to charge more for a phone call to England than we did to another state here in the U.S. Why aren't we doing something along those lines? Why is data just one price fits all? And I think I don't think it was this. I like to see the good in people, right? I don't think it was a totally nefarious thing. I think it was while our company's changing. This now makes sense. And guess what? The law allows us to do this. And so we're going to do what the law allows us to do in order to make money at our business. You're right. They went against a decades old gentleman's agreement. But, you know, that's why gentleman's agreements don't hold up as long as the law does.
They stop being a gentleman.
By Senator Lee's same argument, it would be much better if PG&E and Edison Electric and who does your power there in Colorado, Jeff?
Xcel.
Great. I don't even know who that is. Whatever. It'd be so much better if those companies were in charge of making the rules on how power is delivered. That'd be so much better.
I want to read some more about Mike Lee's argument because it's not. It's not entirely we just want the control to be here. It's about taxes. Okay. He says, and this is his words, you see, under Title II, if someone wants to own a telephone company, there are fees baked into the law. Fees companies then pass on to customers. Now, under this new regulatory regime, internet service providers will be subject to these fees as well and then pass them on to you, the consumer. And let's take that and just stipulate that it's 100% true and accurate because it is true to a degree. There will be fees baked in as part of this Title II thing. But here's the deal. As the consumer, I'm going to pay these fees either way. I'm either going to pay them as Mike Lee says, as part of a tax and there it will be, or I'm going to pay it to companies like Netflix that have to charge me more because Comcast charges them more. It doesn't matter where it happens. The consumer is going to pay more either path that we take here. I would rather pay those fees and know that any innovation is able to reach me equally instead of existing innovation being able to reach me equally.
It's true.
Yep.
That's it. It's that simple. Unless somebody else, unless I'm completely reading this wrong, I can't imagine why a general consumer would not choose the same thing I have. But, you know, that's the.
Yeah, but you always think that, Dave.
Well, that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Your modus operandi is to assume that anyone who gives any particular topic the correct consideration, they will arrive to the same conclusion you have.
That's correct. Correct. No, I know that about myself. I'm not going to change that because it's true. It's correct.
And it's accurate too, right?
It's 100% accurate.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. It's interesting. A better philosophical approach. If I was opposing net neutrality, which I do not, and if I was opposing a regulatory framework that imposes net neutrality on broadband providers, which I do not, a better argument would be that imposing a layer of government regulation is going to stifle innovation on the broadband side of things.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And which is, I don't think, true, because these companies, you know, public utilities make money. Public utilities as broadband providers will still be making money, and there will still be incentive for them to innovate. And companies like Google, who are being motivated not to make money directly from providing broadband, but instead by enabling all of us to do more stuff faster on the internet, right? That's the raison d'être behind their fiber network that they're building out,
right?
Right. That's going to, you know, there's always going to be another reason for someone to bring some innovation, even into the space of public of a public utility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And we know that's what Google wants. So they have incentive to see this follow through. But we have quite a fight ahead of us, because AT&T and Verizon have both publicly said that they will take this to court. And the FCC has said, well, Tom Wheeler has said, "Yep, I'm expecting that, and we're ready for that fight." So that tells me that we have probably a couple years of fighting ahead of us before this is finally hammered out.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, probably. I'm glad he's ready for a fight.
Yeah, I'm glad too. I'm sorry that I'm disappointed that we have to have this fight, but I also get why it needs to happen. If nothing else, it will make sure that whatever policies the FCC is putting in place are as bulletproof as they can be. And that'll be a good
thing. Yeah, you know, like I said, we discussed this from a completely different angle.
Yeah.
We discussed this from a completely different angle on the Apple Context Machine yesterday.
Right. So, and actually, I'm going to put a link in today's show notes for Apple Context Machine.
Okay, providers that oppose this should sue. They should fight it, and it'll take time to work out, and then we'll be done.
Right. Right. So, yeah, so I'll have a link to that in our show notes so that you can go back and listen to that discussion too. Hey, and I mentioned earlier we have a sponsor today, and that is Casper Mattresses. And I'm pretty excited that they're our sponsor, because thanks to them, I'm sleeping much better than I used to. They have these really fantastic mattresses that are a combination of memory foam and latex foam, and they support you really well. You don't sink into them and get stuck. And the prices, I think, are really great, because instead of having to spend well over $1,000 to get a high-quality mattress, you can get whatever you want for under $1,000. The mattress I have is their $850 queen-size bed. And yeah, that would be well over $1,000 if you bought it somewhere else. And they keep the prices low by managing everything themselves and not having a showroom. And they just send you your mattress in the mail. And if there's some reason why you don't like your mattress, which I would find surprising, they'll take it back and they'll give you a refund. But like I said, I don't think you're going to need to do that. So go check out their mattresses. Everyone deserves a good night's sleep, not just me. And go pick out a mattress. And even better, get $50 off because Casper loves us and they love you, our listeners. So go to casper.com/TDO and you'll get a $50 discount on whichever bed you choose. So thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. And I figure as long as we're here, we should also give our listeners a nice little PSA, because there's a new virus, or well, malware that's out for the iPhone, and it targets iOS 7 and iOS 8. And you do not need to jailbreak to get hit by this. So this new threat is called X-Agent. And the way it gets distributed is through ad hoc provisioning, which is a system that Apple has in place so that, say, the company that you work at, they have a custom app that they need on everyone's iPhone. Instead of having to write the app and then get it approved through the App Store just for their 20 or 100 employees, they can write it and then distribute it to their staff through ad hoc provisioning. Well, anyone that's a developer ultimately can take advantage of this. And in this case, it's bad guys that are using it to try and trick people into installing this malware that then will collect your contacts and your location data and your photos and text messages, which really kind of sucks. So
we talked about this. I feel like we talked about this about 3 months ago, this exact thing, right?
Yes, because there was another malware that had come out that used ad hoc provisioning.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. And so it's the same conversation. It's totally something you should be concerned about, but this will not happen accidentally for you, right? The only way ad hoc stuff gets installed, it's not through the App Store. It's not the normal process where you're entering your password. You visit a website, you hit a button, and then it asks, you know, the company X would like to install this app on your phone. Do you want to let them? And that is a process that will seem foreign to you unless you do this all the time, which unless you're testing software, you don't. So it should. There should be a hopefully some level of warning,
and there is. Yes.
Yeah, but it's not. The warning isn't, "Hey, warning, warning! This is trying to do something bad." It's just, "Hey, somebody wants to do something. Will you let it?" So you could be easily lulled into this, but just be aware that it is a different process.
Sure. Yes, and
it's not going to seek out your phone and just install itself while you're not looking, and boom, you lose all your stuff.
Correct. You will have pressed two buttons. One is the link on the web page that says install this, and then the second one is the link in your phone's dialog that says, yes, I agree to let this website install this particular app.
And it will also let you know that it's an untrusted developer.
That's right. It does say untrusted. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So if you're seeing untrusted pop up in a dialogue, that should be a big red flag. It's time to step back and not do whatever it is that it just asked you to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this is out there in the wild, and apparently it's a very sophisticated piece of malware. So whoever's been working on it, they've been working on it for quite a while to make sure that they have, ironically, quality software.
Didn't I see this as being tied to Russia?
It's always tied to Russia, Brian.
Well, I mean, no, seriously. I mean, there's of course a lot of Russian criminal gangs. There's that have been very involved on the hacking side of things. There is Chinese government has been known to do a lot of this stuff, but the Russian government has also been known to sponsor a lot of this stuff.
Right.
And this one is being tied to Russia, I think.
Okay. So the info I got was from Trend Micro, and they're the company that first brought out the alert on this. I don't recall them saying anything specifically about Russia, but they did say that it's very similar to the Sednet malware threat that's targeting Windows computers.
So it was darkreading.com reported that Operation Pond Storm, which has been tied to Russia by at least one security research firm. Okay, so at least there's a security research firm out there that's attaching it to Russia.
And the Pond Storm thing, yeah, I do recall seeing stuff about that specifically being tied to Russia. So X-Agent could be linked into that in some way, which then would hook it back to Russia. So Dave, you're right. It all goes back to Russia.
Well, like Brian said, I mean, there's a lot of activity that happens over there that, you know, heads us down this path.
Yeah, and, you know, quite frankly, tensions between Russia and the U.S. haven't been higher in a long time.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. Yep. Yeah. So the important takeaway from this story is if you get a dialogue that pops up on your iPhone while you're, say, on a web page, and it says, install this app, and you tap the button to make that happen, and you see something that says that it's an untrusted developer and you want to go ahead anyhow, that's a bad thing. What should happen when you see something that says, hey, install this app, is that it should take you to the App Store. And because that's the only way you're going to get the legit apps that are being distributed and vetted by Apple. So if you're not sure you can trust something, just assume you can't.
Yeah, that vetting is one of the things that we are getting in exchange for having a system that Apple controls.
Right. And I'm cool with that because it helps cut down on potential malware threats. And I really don't want my parents calling me wanting to know why their phone is suddenly doing things in other languages and where did all the data go. That is not a conversation I want to have with my mom. And on that happy note, we're out of time.
So we are.
Yet again. So Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well. It is always great to have both of you on the show. And thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. I'm loving that I'm sleeping better, and I want you to sleep better too. So go over to casper.com/TDO and get $50 off your brand new mattress and start sleeping better right away. We will see everyone again tomorrow.
Good to be here.